that you can send a $300 seed to find your way to prosperity, you got something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about you walking in the purpose and you learning how to be a good steward over everything that God allows to you.
Mm-hmm.
You do it that way. Some of these ministers have had success with these tactics.
Mm-hmm.
But the increase that I would love to see in any church will come from God Himself by us teaching the proper scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, and there's a book in the Ethiopian Bible. All the books are there. Mm-hmm. There are 30 some other books that
have been left out.
Okay. Who determined the significance of those things?
I'm sorry to interrupt. Can you go back? Because I'm not aware of this. Can you go back and explain that a little bit to me, please?
The whole Bible, the original canons, the scrolls, and all these things, the Western Civilization Bible for which we use the King James Version is missing over 30-some-odd books.
Wow.
All included in the Ethiopian Bible.
Mm-hmm.
At the Council of Trent and Nicaea. Amen.
Come on, brother.
That's where the Bible was put together.
Okay, and yep. Then let me tell something else. And also, Danny and Dr. Dimran, and you probably already know too, there was another Bible that was stripped down even more, and that was called the Negro Bible at one time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the one that the white people took all the positive.
So think about what
God delivering slaves and whatnot. Yeah.
So you have people, you have powers to be that's able to disseminate information based on what they think that you should have and how it could benefit them. Because, you know, again, knowledge and is unstated. Knowledge is definitely power. Education is definitely power. And if I can strip you of your education, if I can strip you of the language, then how in the world are you going to understand anything?
That's right.
Okay. It is very difficult to think critically if I don't have anything to think about. I mean, that's good, kind of simple to me. Mm-hmm. Dr. Dimmer, you were about to say something.
No, I was just commenting on what Danny was talking about. I mean, there's the Gnostic Gospels that got eliminated from the original text. There's the Gospel of Mary. There's the Gospel of Judas. Mm. There's one text that a whole movie was centered around called Stigmata. It was based on the Gospel of Thomas, which is many scholars believe that Jesus actually wrote himself. But Danny's right. There are so many missing books. There's a whole Apocrypha that's missing. The Apocrypha means hidden books. And there's so many books that are missing that didn't even get a chance to come close to coming into the canon. So, Ann, you go ahead. I know you want to say something.
No, you're exactly right. I was going to basically say what I learned, years ago is that there was, a meeting, as Reverend Demery pointed out, where they decided, and hopefully they were led by the Holy Spirit, as to which books would be included in the Bible and which books would not. I actually, after I found out about it, I bought a book that contains the apocryphal stories of the Bible. And it's funny, whenever I'm reading the Bible, especially back then, I would pray before I started to read. And so I haven't been allowed to read that entire book of the Apocrypha.
What's that, Danny? You only in front of us.
So
but the New Interpretive Study Bible.
This is Bible that she's speaking of that's inclusive of the Apocrypha.
Whoa.
The one that I have is basically a separate book that just has all the Apocrypha stories. I think it may be.
Yours is all inclusive though, right, Danny?
Yeah, he has them all together.
All inclusive.
Okay, very good. Very good. That's amazing.
So can I venture a question here? Why were those books not included?
Several different reasons. One of the main reasons why is because the books did not match with tradition.
Align.
Like, for example, that's why the Gospel of Mary did not make it into the canon. That's why the Gospel of Hermes did not make it into the canon, because one of the other controversial things is they didn't have the research tools that we have now. Because some of those books probably would have made it into the canon. Not probably, I think they would have. But back then you had a bunch of Catholic bishops at Trent and Nicaea and got together. And like Anne said, we pray that they were led by the Holy Spirit. And basically what they sat down and did was, this book's in, this book's out. This book's in, this book's out. It's a little more complicated than that, but that's basically what they did.
But we're back to man's interpretation of what should and should not be in the Bible.
Well, basically, but like Anne said, we hope that they were led by the Holy Spirit. But there's a lot of books, and I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to step out and say this. This is a little controversial, but that's okay. I am convinced of some of the books that I read that they should have been included into the canon. Like, for example, the Gospel of Mary. You read the Gospel of Mary, it talks about detailed things that took place right during the resurrection, right after the resurrection, and right before it, that is as accurate as the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
You know, and then it goes back to the question, why did they leave it out? I think the reason was they didn't want...
You know why,
Blaine. I know exactly why.
You know why.
Uh-huh. That's right. It's a control factor again. Going back to power, what are we talking corrupts, about? Money and power,
absolutely.
Right?
Power corrupts, absolutely.
That's what's been happening. Hey, guys. Boy, Danny, did you have something to say before I drop this next one?
No, I just wanted to keep that into the minds. You know, the guy that's on this one particular film, Michael Todd, I know him personally. I've seen him. I have been to his church. A couple of years ago, I've seen him see $1.5 million into the needs of other people. So I'm not sure of that particular subject matter that they're speaking to with him, but his church originated, a church not too far from where my dad's church is in Tulsa there.
Okay.
But this young man has made tremendous leaps and bounds. And it has to be something good about what's taking place, because I've listened to him and known him. He was an intern for my younger brother Wayman. He was a drummer, and he did a lot of musical things with Wayman. So I know the heart of the young man is very genuine.
Okay.
So we have to be careful of who we classify, because we're given the right to have righteous judgment, but we are not given the right to be judgmental. I'm sorry, Sister Ann, go ahead.
No, you're fine. I was doing a little test to see if you all would be able to.
Yeah, we're still here.
This is the book that I, can you see that? This is the book that I bought years ago. It's called The Lost Books. Yeah, The Lost Books of the Bible and the Forgotten Book.
How many books are
That's pretty. That seems pretty thick on its own.
There are lots of books in it. Yeah, it is pretty thick. And let me see how many books to answer Brother Tisdale's question.
This is fascinating. This is really fascinating.
Let's see. This is... I'm going to have to count these. One.
While Anne's looking for that, you know, I've always believed that the Bible has been written by man and has probably been bastardized by man to their own for their own good, because they have their agenda. Man has had their agenda since we've walked upright. And I think the Bible has been manipulated, and you guys are now educating me that not only has the words been manipulated, but entire segments of the Bible not allowed in because of manipulation and agendas that have been happening for literally thousands of years.
Mike, let me
say
this.
Very disheartening. Very disheartening.
Let me listen to this right here just for a minute. Even in man's attempt to bastard the word you use, they were unsuccessful in being able to do so.
Right.
Because the principles that are written even in the King James Version of what we have in this Western civilization, when you do line upon line, principle upon principle, and you apply it, it works. So they were unsuccessful to even bastardize the word used it. You know what I'm saying? Because the way it's written, when you get the true wisdoms and principles of what that book tells you, it's been my life experience that it still works. Now, my greatest concern is when you start to discover all these missing things and all these deceptive tactics that have been used from the birth of Islam. You know, Islam is it has a date of its existence when it came into being. All these things, I know Dr. Demery has studied them, and he could probably. I'm with a pastor now that's 70, I think he's 75 or 76 years old.
Oh, he's almost William's age.
And he's a professor.
Thanks, Mike.
And he's a theologian, and he's a historian.
Like William.
And this man here, is the knowledge that's in him is so tremendous.
Go do a sound check.
Hey, guys, this has been a fascinating discussion. I'm gonna just go and drop maybe one more sound bite, maybe two, but I'm thoroughly enjoying.
Before you do, can I answer the question? There are 25 books.
Okay.
that's good.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you so much. No, this is fascinating. So, and you know, when I really fall in love with something, you know, I kind of intend to repeat it. We're going to have a part two of this discussion. Mm-hmm. Is that okay with the panel?
I'm not surprised.
No, because I think that we're trying, I really believe that for many, we're uncovering some things because we're talking about the most influential things in our lives.
You guys educated me tonight.
You know, and so am I. Go on, Ann.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's
I was
okay.
Just going to say, I grew up hearing about these books all my life. My parents told me that there were other books in the Bible. And sometimes, like I think Reverend Demery has mentioned, the Maccabees in the past, is when we talked, I've heard other ministers mention it, you know, in their sermons or whatnot, but it wasn't something that was in the Bible. So there was a curiosity, because my Bible tells me to read and study myself. And so because I believe I'm supposed to obey the word of God, then I ended up purchasing this book so that just in case somebody was lying to me, you know, I would know for myself, because that's part of the problem. You have, you know, God makes it really plain that my people suffer from a lack of knowledge. And so you can't know that your preacher is leading you astray if you do not read the Bible for yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what the Word of God has to say. Because the Bible says, you know, that in these days he would write the Word of God on our hearts. You can tell who's got the Word of God written on their hearts and who don't. So, you know, because the people who don't behave like, you know, Pharisees and Sadducees and those types of people, the love of Christ is not in them. And they, so they do not know how to love other people. Now, like I said, in terms of these books, I have not read all of this book, and I have had it literally for years. This book is older than my children. That's how long I have had it.
Wow.
But the Lord would only allow me to read certain things. I don't think that what we have that it is seriously a problem of necessarily the misuse of the Bible. I think we are at the time that Jesus, or rather the Bible, mentions as the great falling away. And I think a lot of what Trump and the MAGA extremist people are meant to do is to facilitate that, because they have poisoned Christianity for a large segment of people. People nowadays equate Christianity with terrorism. Can you imagine equating Christianity with those of us who are believers, equating Christianity with terrorism? But that's what they think. They are starting to believe that Christians are terrorists. They, people who used to be on the verge of believing, have turned away altogether from the faith because of how it's been politicized, because of, how they have twisted the word of God to make it, to make people think it says what they want it to mean when it doesn't. There's just a lot going on to make people turn away, from God's word right now. And that, I think, is the crux of the problem. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's not, that if the Lord leads you to read these books, you shouldn't read these books. It's not what I'm telling you. What I am telling you is that's where I think we it's where it feels like we are as we get nearer to the end. Because the great falling away has to come first before we get to the end.
Wow. You know, what's so fascinating, and we're going to continue the conversation because I'm not going to interrupt, this dialogue with, more videos. We'll bring that back for next week, because this is a conversation that needs to be discussed. My point is, look at the influential people in our lives. And entertainers, we're influenced by our entertainers.
Sports.
Sports.
Athletes.
We are. Our politicians, believe it or not. Our preachers. And you have to look at what motivates these people to do whatever they're doing. And how are ethically, thank you, Mike. How are they benefiting us, Danny? How are they benefiting us, Dr. Demery? And Mike?
They're benefiting themselves.
Oh! So, I refuse to say I'm throwing my hands. Okay. There are some things that we can do. The problem is, how do we get the nefarious people out and put good people, just like, and I mean this, the four people on my panel, I would vote for whatever office you're running for, I would vote for you any day of the week, because I know your heart. You're not greedy. You're not selfish. You love people. Okay. You're humanitarian people. You're honest people. Okay. If you did wrong, you got to pay the price. You do right. Come on. We can move forward. I mean, it's really not that hard, is it? It's really not that hard. All right.
So I'm going to put your question back onto you, William.
Please.
When you're looking at these politicians or pastors or law enforcement or judges or Supreme Court judges or any of these other people that are in positions of power that we supposedly should listen to and reflect upon and respect, how do we do something about getting Gosh, I'm struggling.
The right people?
How do we fix it? I guess is the bottom line, because you were asking us how do we fix it?
Yeah.
With these people being out of line and not really paying attention to the American people and beyond America, because America is not just yes, we are just this little United States, but America has a great influence upon the rest of the world. So how do we take care of and not manipulate?
No.
How do we fix the wrong?
Get things right. Well, my opinion, let's go around the panel here real quick too. My opinion is we have to flush out the garbage. Now, I know when Trump came in, he was going to drain the swamp, but then he added to the swamp. I mean, he was the swamp. Okay. And it left scars, but how, forget all of that. How do we fix it? We've got
are we talking sunlight? Sunlight's a great disinfectant. When we show the light on everything and we are able to let all of society go, okay, here's the facts. Here's the facts, the clues and the evidence. Here's what's up. You make up your own mind. Is that the best way to approach this? Use sunlight as a great disinfectant?
That's a great question. Sunlight, yes. But then Danny and Dr. Demery, Ann, and even you, Mike, the issue is how do we get the information out? Yeah, you can expose people. But if you're in a cult of personality, if you're in a cult, it doesn't matter,
if you're your own little bubble. You might be in your own little bubble where you don't watch the news, you don't care about the news. Maybe you watch only one side of the news versus the other side of the news. I try to watch both. I really do.
But
if you're not willing to do those things, then how do we expose you to the clues, the facts, and the evidence and reality?
There's a couple of things. Doing what we do right now with this medium right here. Let's talk about it.
Their heads, yeah.
Get it out there. Okay. And hopefully through us and the people who are thinking about let's have a better, more honest, more equal society out here. And we have to get out and vote. The problem is that how do you motivate people to do that? To make things better.
How do you motivate them to be an educated voter?
See, and doing things like we do and what we do, and hopefully our partners in the media will do some of the same things. But see, a major, major issue is you've got some of these outlets. I mean, major, major outlets with millions and millions and millions of viewers per night that are counterproductive to what we were speaking of, which makes good doggone common sense. Because I'm going to tell you right now, just like we were talking about school lunches earlier, and if our students are doing better and the statistics say so, okay, then the economy is going to do better. And you're building a foundation for the future where they can go out and get good jobs, or they could become entrepreneurs, whatever it is, and they could contribute to the base. But see, to have, and then also you can decrease the people that needs to be on welfare. But there's a nefarious reason behind this. And I read this years and years and years and years ago.
It's about
the wealthy want the poor. They want the poor. They want the poor. Because guess what? Then they get your labor. They can negotiate the price of your labor. Okay, and on it is economic, nefarious economics 101. Danny, you leaning forward, brother. I really want your take on that. And we've got to come back. We got to address this.
I'm listening with a heart that bleeds because the wheat and the tare would grow alike. We have to get to the place that there's only so much that we can do.
Mm.
The remaining part of everything that needs to be done is totally out of our hands. Because we are not the final say.
We're not in positions of power. We don't have the juice.
We don't have the bully pulpit, but we can we can bring truth to light to those who are willing to listen.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that. That's the part that we can do. But we must understand where our responsibility begins and where it ends. We teach our loved ones and those that are willing to hear what we have to say, the truth of what we learn from ourselves being exposed to the truth. And it's not always easy to get to that.
That's amazing.
So I don't have that solid answer, just like Mike and Eric, you don't have it. Neither one of us sitting on this panel have the true answer to it. Because even the resume of the people that we voted here in Texas on 14 different things just here this past Tuesday. And I read upside down and sideways to try to understand with the language that was in it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
That's part of the problem, too, is the language.
That's part of the problem.
I couldn't agree. Hey, Mike. I pulled my finger. It wasn't the middle finger, but my forefinger did the same thing.
Not.
But Danny, you're so right. And look, lady, Ann.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Demery, Mike. Okay, Dr. Demery. You got 30 seconds.
I will tell you a story that has stayed with me for many, many years. There was this old preacher who was giving some advice to a young preacher. And the young preacher had come back at the end of the day. He was having a tough time. You know, his church, he was trying to grow his church and he was trying to get the people to understand. And this old preacher said this to the young man and it stayed with me. He said, well, you know, how can I get the people motivated? How do I get the information out? How do I? And the old preacher said this, and this doesn't answer anyway, all of what we're talking about, like Danny said, but it will give a little insight. He said, you know what you do, young man? You continue to preach to them. Mm. You continue to give them the word, and sooner or later they will get it.
Thank you. Wow, that's deep. Ann?
Well, I've got to say there's been a whole lot that we talked about today, and I can imagine, William, that we're going to talk about it more next week. But I want to remind everybody that there's another show coming out next week that you need to listen to, too. It's the Christian Ministries radio show hosted by me and sometimes William Buss in, too. You don't want to miss it. It comes on live right here on Studio WBuzz at 11 o'clock a.m. Central Time, followed by the Teens Talk Truth radio show, hosted by my favorite young men on the planet, Andre and Alex. We call them AJ. AJ and Alex Taylor. You don't want to miss it. They discuss hot topics affecting teens in our society today. So stick with us. You don't want to miss the show. We're looking forward to being with you next week.
Great show. And last week, Mad Mike and I, I guess it is last week, but no, last Thursday, we had a special guest on the Mad Mike and Wild Will Coast to Coast show. We had Wild Bill Young.
He's Wild Bill.
That's right. See, Ann, we can't
fabulous
have
artist.
Oh, great, great, great music recording artist.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, he's in Las Vegas now. Mm-hmm. Mike, do you remember where he was from originally? Because he wasn't born in Vegas.
I don't, but I don't care where he came from. What I care about is what he's doing right now. And that man needs some recognition because he has a wonderful way of writing songs, of singing those songs, and interpreting the story behind those songs. So I genuinely greatly appreciate you bringing him in with us on Coast to Coast. I hope he comes back again over and over again, mainly because – wait a second.
Well, you got
because Wild Bill is a redneck. He's a redneck like me. I got my credentials right here. So I
Wild
really
Bill ain't a redneck.
Being on, and he was
he's black.
Fabulous guy.
California rednecks are different from Arkansas rednecks.
I don't know what the difference is, but I'll embrace it. Yes. Redneck's a redneck.
Oh, seriously, Mike. He wants to come back.
Wait. If you mean like an evil redneck versus a good redneck, okay. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. No.
See, the hat is white. See, the bad guys wear black hats. The good guys wear white hats. That's the rule.
You know, you live in Redneckville, and there is a street up Peckerwood
Road, and there's
literally a street in Little Rock called Peckerwood
Road. Just long as they don't have like Crackerville or something.
Oh my God! But
I haven't looked that one up.
But Peckerwood is just as bad, bro. You guys are wild.
Look, white hat.
Yes, sir.
I fight for the good.
I know you do. Oh my God! See, I wanted a black cowboy hat too. Sucks, man. I fight for the good too. I want a black one and a white one. I'm getting a cowboy. I'm getting two cowboy hats. Absolutely. Hey guys, this has been fun. Yep, part two next week. All right. Like Ann said, yep, she knew it, didn't you? You knew it, didn't you?
I know you.
Well, good. I know you too.
With the bone.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna do this one. Close up. Love will find a way. Hey guys. Hey, love you guys. Thank you so much. What a great conversation.
Thanks very much for allowing me to be part of the panel.
Absolutely. You're held hostage now. You're part of the mob.
I know. I'm not hostage. I've been goat roped.
I call it what you want.
There's a difference.